Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful week, and I hope you all have a wonderful weekend to follow. And I hope y'all are in the mood for some good poetry, because it seems like we have a lot of it tonight. And I have a surprise. Hello, Rex, and welcome back. We've missed you, sir.
Hey, guys.
Good to hear your voice. Well, I'm not cooking today. Maybe tomorrow. Definitely Sunday. What's happening with you? You feel better?
Yep. It's just now it's cold and wet again.
Oh, really? Oh, my God. How lousy is that?
Sucks.
Yeah, the weather, boy, I tell you, it's fickle. It is fickle. We've had some really warm days the last couple. So maybe it'll head down your way. Push all that cold stuff out of the way.
Well, I think Wednesday was 85.
Well, nice. I think it was in the 80s here. It might have been Wednesday. It may very well have been Wednesday, my daughter told me. And I went, wow, Kathy, what a change that is, you know. And today was, like, sticky out. It was warm and sticky, like not comfy stuff. Well, hopefully it'll get back to being nice and pleasant in your area. And give you a little bit of respite from all that crazy. And, yes, I'm not sure what's happening here, but, well, we're down to three of us. Oh, wait, there's four. Okay, Tim kind of fell off and fell back on. I don't know. But just so you know, Rex, we have two people with us tonight so far. We have Katie, Weaver of Dreams, and we have Kate. Kate, listen, Christ, I'm a little senile, ain't I? And we have Pam. Hello, Kate, and hello, Pam.
Hi,
hello,
Bill.
Hello,
hi, Rex.
Hello,
Mike. How are you doing?
All right, not too bad.
How you just wrote?
Oh my God! Now look, now you know I don't think I understand what the hell you're saying, right? I'm just kidding, just kidding. Oh my goodness! You know we have a nice full board of poetry. It seems to be, a pretty good. What's the word I want? Mix. Mix is a good word. It's short, but it's a good word. And we have plenty of audios. And, yeah, I think it's just going to be a little bit of fun here tonight. So, let me see now. What else is going on? I don't know. I don't really know what's going on. It's like my world is in a little bit of a fog. Let's see. How's your weather, Pam?
You know, all in all, it's not too bad. I mean, today. Like weather in your area, it's been very psychotic the past couple of weeks, going up and down. But today we made it to about 48, and tomorrow and Sunday it's supposed to get up to about 60.
Oh, nice!
So
nice.
Yeah,
you're working
yeah.
your way up to the 1 week of summer you're going to get.
Exactly. So, to be honest, I think 1 week is a little hopeful on your part. I think it's more like 2 to 3 days.
I hear you. And Kate, now what the hell is your weather? I can't imagine.
Well, it's pretty dour, I would say. We can get all the seasons in one day in Scotland. That's the kind of erratic weather patterns we have. If you happen to sleep late one morning in July, you've missed summer. That's basically it.
Oh my gosh. That's funny, but I think I've heard that elsewhere before. Maybe I heard it from you on another show.
Well, that's okay. As long as nobody's pinching my... Somebody pinching my lines, I want royalties.
I was wondering what you were going to say they were pinching. It got me a little nervous there for a second.
Sorry.
That's okay. I just was like, hold my breath until you finish the sentence. It's okay.
Oh, dear. I'm a bit erratic, but don't worry. I'm harmless.
I don't know. I'll believe it because you say it. Hey, listen, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no, yeah, six carryovers, right, from last week? And out of the six carryovers, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 audios, okay? So I have a feeling we're going to start with an audio. But I think, no, I'm not going to start with an audio. I'm going to start with this one here because the person who wrote it is present and accounted for. And I'm going to have Pam read it. Pam, I'm going to have you read this piece to start the show off. It's called A Sip from the Straw and Hotel Soap by Pam Ray. Here we
oh,
go.
My gosh, that troublemaker?
I know. Woof.
All right. Here we go. She's a pinup girl fantasy spinning in wild abandonment, a floating carousel of diamonds and skulls, hullabaloo heist, and sordid secrets. All around is the clown, Sandman grinning empty gazes. The sky is out of reach. The earth is becoming sidewalk cracks. They all like to say, come on, baby, shimmy and shake, sip from the straw. The air is binary vibrations, jukebox jams, a nickel per song playing all night long in a weirdly addictive world. manic mastery, souping up the classic, putting the pedal to the metal in a hand-jive rock and roll vibe, guys and dolls lubricating the dance scene, three blocks down, midnight fiends, dark alleys, garbage can fires, hotel room desires, bouquets left on the nightstand, daffodils are her favorite, bright yellow is the color of hope. Johnny's planted his apple seed in Betty Boop's purse, and she will be bopping and hopping all the way to the last bucket of stars spilled in a gutter right after she pockets the hotel soap. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Kate, why don't you lead us off, please?
Are you sure you want me to do that? Well, okay then. I thought this was, I mean, I'm looking at all the different parts of this, and there's a couple of things I'm not too sure about because I'm not American. But what I did love was Johnny planted his apple seed in Betty Boop first, because I know who Johnny is. That's good. I like that. That was excellent. Very good. And you have to bear with me because my eyesight's going as well as my voice. But we've got this, a floating carousel of diamonds and skulls, hullabaloo heist, and sordid secrets. That does sound, this fantasy pinup girl has got a lot to tell us. She's going to keep it all to herself. I thought it was beautifully done. You've got everything in that picture accounted for, as it were, and all together, everything fits, and it's beautiful. So thank you so much for sharing.
Well, thank you, Kate. Thank you.
Well, thank Kate. And Jean, how about you?
Pam, this is really a unique piece, and I think I say that because it's a unique piece of art that you worked off of. You know, I love all the references throughout. You know, I really have to say I loved how you started it. She's a pinup girl fantasy spinning in wild abandonment. And when you look at that image, it kind of takes you there. You know, it works. It really works well. A floating carousel of diamonds and skulls, hullabaloo heist, and sordid secrets. It fits so well. And then, you know, as you go down, your different references and points made are really, really pretty incredible. You know, because somehow they stay revolving around that image very well. And I think it was just really, really well done. You know, the reference to the daffodils was great because it pulled in that one little flower up at the top of this image, you know. And I don't know, I just really liked it. I think that it was creative and well done. And Johnny Appleseed and Betty Boop, I mean, how can you go wrong with that? It kind of fits the rest of the timeline that I felt throughout the piece, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you have the pinup girls and everything, and I think it really worked. But I have to say, your closing lines are right after she pockets the hotel. You know, hey, okay. But I do. I think it was really a great job.
Thank you, Jean.
Thank you.
And I got to go. It kind of reminds me of a walkthrough with Girls Town from Sin City. They rule the roost. They make the rules. And they do the collecting. This kind of hits on that notation of that with the thoughts of diamonds and skulls, the hullabaloo heist and sort of secrets. They all know what goes on down there, and they keep it to themselves. The Betty Boop reference had me thinking of who that was characterized after. I think it was Clara Bow from back in the 20s. She was a huge, huge star back in the day, and she did everything to excess. She dressed to tease, she dressed to intimidate, and she pretty much ruled the roost, even in a town where the big easy of the boys on top couldn't keep her in line. She did what she wanted, and she had fun doing it.
Yep. Thank you, Rex.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okay. One click, two click. Yeah, I can do it. Okay. Reg, I think I'm going to have you read the next one, and then I'm going to kind of bounce back and forth a little bit to see if we can't get through the carryovers and the current. So the next piece I'm going to put up is by Daniel Deschino, and that's what I'm going to ask you to read. Now, when you're done, if you go to read, do comments, could you save me for last?
All right.
Okay, thank you. And here you go.
The Gold That Always Was by Daniel Deschino. I have traveled long forgotten roads in the dark places of the world, where dragon fire and evil minds have left wastelands where there once was wonderment. And buried in rock and mountain deep are dragon hordes where dragons sleep. Content with gold and the solitude of malice, how would a dragon miss just a handful from an entire mountain of treasure? And I think all that I could do with a handful of gold, such a careless dragon, sleeping when he should be guarding, and with pockets full, I smile and snicker how easy it was to steal. That is when I lost all desire for gold. Open dragon eyes and poison fiery breath will put life into perspective quite quickly. I could not run fast enough as the ground shook with angry clawed feet. I tossed all the gold in my pockets so lighter I would be, and the insignificant easily hide in the shadows from the vision of the greedy and power seeking, and somehow I escaped. And as I ran, only simple thoughts filled my mind, what a fool I was to forget what had always powered my heart, thinking of home, singing songs with friends, good food and ale, and sunset pipe weed under an old and comforting tree. I crave no more of the gold of the dragons of the world. I feel pity and sorrow for the destruction they cause from desire and greed. I will cherish every moment that my simple home lies beyond their vision, and I will find peace every day that I have no treasure that they would want. And poem. All right, Pam. Kick us off.
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. This is an amazing write by Daniel. I like it because it can be a story poem, which he does a wonderful job with, and it's got an epic feel to it, but it also works well as an extended metaphor. And I like that it's a story about a man who comes face to face with his own mortality and realizes what the true riches of life are, and decides to put away that heart, that life of greed and desires for riches, and takes a new path, you know, looks at what's really important in life. And I really like this all the way through, but I especially like where he says, and somehow I escaped, and as I ran, only simple thoughts filled my mind. What a fool I was to forget what had always powered my heart, thinking of home, singing songs with friends, good food and ale, and sunset pipeweed under an old and comforting tree. It's also really nice because it has a J.R.R. Tolkien type feel to it, like the adventures of the hobbits and all that. So wonderful right and very well done.
Nice, Anne. Thank you. And Kate, how about you?
Oh, this is a great story poem. I really enjoyed listening to this one. I'm thinking to myself, obviously, what would have happened or how his life would have changed if the dragon hadn't awoken and tried to chase him and get him with his fiery breath. His life would have been completely different. But now he has the perspective. Now he realizes what's important, and it's not necessarily gold. Although, you know, you can be miserable in comfort if you've got a handful of gold, I suppose. It would make life easier for everybody. But yes, I think it was very well written. I do enjoy it's a sort of, what's the word? Those poems that have a meaning at the end. They tell you something that you should know. I can't remember what they call, but anyway, that's what it's like to me. He's pointing out just how good your life can be, and you must appreciate what you have. But, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's got that nice ringing tone of a fable, but there's a little bit of religious notes in this, the thought of stealing from somebody else, coveting of someone else's goods, So you've got that, which sings in there, and that notation to the emptiness of life and realizing, you know what? Death comes to us all, but it need not come because you harbor that which you want from that someone else has. And the idea of, you know what? Happiness comes with what you cherish the most, and that is life, days lived, family, friends, and earning a decent day's wage for that which you put into the world as opposed to that which others take from the world. So the idea on the back end of this, and I will find peace every day that I have no treasure that they would want, it hits on that idea. I have all that I want because there are golden notes to a life which I appreciate, and I don't need the extra wealth which has its own travails and trials that one must deal with because everybody wants a piece of that pie. That's mm-hmm. done, Dan. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Well, just so you know, we have Dexter on the line. Dexter, did you happen to hear the poem?
I did. I thought that this was a fantastic write. And, you know, kind of chiming in on what everybody is that, you know, you hear that and you think it's such ridiculous, but I think that the reality is that the goal, you know, everybody's goal is something different. And so that's why I think this is such a relatable write. You know, we might all be willing to do something that maybe is against our best nature for the goal, quote unquote, the goal, you know, and so it's something we're all fighting. So I really enjoyed this piece. So thank you for having me on and welcome back, Rex.
Oh, thank you, Dex. Nice to hear your voice.
That's okay. What was it? When you were off, Rex, I had Dex, and I said, oh, God, I don't have Rex and Dex anymore, but I have Dex and – what was the other one, Dex? Dex and Next? I forget what the hell it was. I started laughing because, yeah, it's not
easy
word to
write. We were eating some good Tex-Mex, and he said, Dex – no, I'm just kidding. No, I don't remember what it was exactly.
I just remember it made me laugh because, you know, it's not really the easiest word to rhyme, but it sure did. It rhymed well, I have to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it was pretty funny. Okay, so let me just say, this poem, I thought it was a wonderful poem. Nicely penned piece, and I have to agree with Pam on the comment. It was a bit of a Tolkien feel. It was just something about the way it was written. It was kind of, Tolkien had a lot to say, but I think he had a lighter way of saying it, kind of. I don't know if that makes any sense to anybody else in the world, but it makes sense to me, so I'm going to stick with it. And I really enjoyed it. And I picked up this. I crave no more of the gold of the dragons of the world. I feel pity and sorrow for the destruction they cause from desire and greed. I will cherish every moment that my simple home lies behind their vision. And that whole thing there, I thought, encompassed that Tolkien feel. But it was really nicely done. So thank you so much for sharing with us, Dan, as always. That was a great piece. Much enjoyed. Okay, I guess I'm supposed to do something now. Yes, I am. I remember. Okay, I'm going to – don't laugh at me. Okay, now I'm going to put up this piece. Oh, wait, we have another phone call. Well, you know what? I'm going to put the piece up and find out who it is. So here we go. This one's by Titus Llewellyn. And I'm going to put it up. And I have a sound clip. Well, actually, I have an audio. Here we go.
Confines a poet's race. A hard chair you would have thought cushion-bound poets, the comfort of making them heir to a throne, did not require a school-like first day. Lesser concerns finding their regrets. A soft-scented man who speaks last can gracefully sit higher. A position of power to absorb all they have dealt in. At least I am best prepared as amber is. To suggest rekindling in eager anticipation, to find their interruptions use an unhurried yeast. Perhaps their self-importance serves a portion each as meager. I would sip a moment's silence. Some passive words are heard, giving them an olive branch, I do receive the laurel in return. A pleasant repertoire, the classical shape and form finds absurd. Random words make a poet blush, so refined do ears adjourn. Given reason, my consternations wallow, the pity it engraves. A lasting travesty over wasting words, the penetrative means finds a place of peace. One sits alone, given the time it saves to think of the palm with whom to contemplate many scenes. Romance ornates extravagance, this free disposition. My faith holds an emotion of waves, thought ebbing down the tide. Divides such time as fools rush in, confines a poet's wraith. Conscious thought has bloomed at best one's peaceful side.
Great read, Titus. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And all right, Pam, we're going to start with you.
I think Pam said she'd be right back, Rex.
All right, then. All right, Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought that piece was incredible, and really what that piece reminded me of is I remember watching this video of, I think, Napoleon Hill, and he had studied off of, anyway, whatever it was, but what it is to be a great man and about not letting other people get to you. He talked about how he was meeting with somebody and somebody showed up to their house that night and they screamed at him and they screamed off all of these things and he let off everything that he had. And then in that moment of sitting there with nothing left, he said the other guy got in quite a bit of words. And so this poem was, you know, when he talks about a saw center man who speaks last can gracefully sit higher. You know, and letting the other person blow off their steam just at the end, finally get the last word. I thought that this poem was fantastic.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. And Kate, how about you?
Yes, that's a great insight. I like that. I love that line as well. As you say, it's a soft-centered man. It is very clever to allow the other person to scream and shout. And if you've lost your temper, generally, you've lost the argument. So keeping calm is the way to go, definitely. And then you have that point where you can then say what you want to say without them screaming at you or through you. So I think this is beautifully written. And I can see it was written for or dedicated to John Keats, who was, you know, it's a blooming shame, died very young. And none of his work was particularly thought much of until, as usual, he's been dead 3 years, they think he's wonderful. That does happen a lot, and it's a shame. But I think this is very well written, and I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Nice, thank you, Kate. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave all my comments in writing. We have two more callers. Via one more line.
Okay.
We have Hope Soul and Nuno Cardoso on the line. So, yeah, and they're calling in together. So you just have to, you know what we're doing here. So there we go. And welcome aboard to Hope and Nuno. It's good to have
hey
you.
Hey, all.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi.
Good.
Fine. Thank you.
Did you guys happen to hear the last poem by Teddy?
Yeah.
Like to make a comment?
I like two things in particular that kind of popped, in my opinion. That were the way he wrote each line. Like most people tear it apart a little bit. He wrote like every line kind of long. But I do like it because I think it flows well. The way he did it, and I also really, really enjoyed the rhyming. I usually don't like rhyme because it usually takes away from the message that the poet's trying to convey most of the times because he is forced to rhyme. But the way he rhymes is very natural. I don't like also when rhymes sound like fairy tales, and his didn't because the lines were so long. You know, it really didn't sound like he was rhyming at all. It took me a while to understand it, so I really could enjoy it.
Excellent. Thank you, Nuno. And Hope, how about you?
I like the overall presentation of the write, from his voice to the way he drew out each line, and the music in the background. It gave it this very like dreamlike state where you could see a man sitting and in thought and what was coming to him. And I enjoyed the rhyming as well. I thought it was really well done.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful poem. As always, he gives a very classic feel to his writing. Wonderful imagery, rhyme, and flow. I like how this speaks on the idea of, you know, how you can find peace with yourself and with other people by having that humble spirit, by not feeding into other people's needs for confrontation. You know, so excellent write and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, everybody. All right, Gene, we're coming back to you. But you got to unmute.
You think that would help? Here we go again. Oh, my God. I did it when you weren't here too, Rex. Don't you know, feel like it's just you. Hello, Frank. Kate, I'm going to ask you to read this next one by Darkened Auras. It's called Chained to a Memory. And whenever
okay,
you're ready.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank
My
you.
Pleasure. Chained to a Memory. She woke up in a darkened room, one bulb swaying above the bed, down from under the blurry vision and the pain within her head. There were no windows anywhere and no exit door to be found. Skin was clammy. Walls were cold. Would she be forever bound? Suddenly, upon the south wall, a bright gateway did glow. Before her stood a silhouette, a familiar face she did not know. The same long golden locks of hair, her own true deep blue eyes, a monster that had captured her and took her skin as a disguise. A distorted smile crossed its face, as it slowly caressed her cheek, then pointed at her forehead, whispering, "Locked away are the answers that you seek." In an instant it was gone, and took with it what she feared. There was no longer a gateway out. It too had disappeared. She beat her fists against the wall, now just as solid as before. She turned around, started to cry, as she slid down to the floor. Exhaustion overcame her, and soon she fell asleep. Nightmares of her past began to manifest in the form of an awful creep. Running deep into her childhood, the age of 4 or 5, hiding from her perverted father, just praying to survive. Mom was overseas on business. She was left in his care. He made her his so-called wife, while Mommy wasn't there. That was the memory locked away, why she had hidden in the night. The girl she called a monster was really her beacon of light, so that she could thrive. Now she was just showing her how it felt for her to be alive. Trapped within a section of the brain, replaying your memory to yourself, should be sharing this body, don't want to be left on the shelf. She had enough of sitting alone, being a barrier who always recalled. She wanted to see what life was like beyond the prison of these four walls. She woke up in her comfy bed, a complete blackout of time, remembered nothing she'd been through, not even Daddy's crime. She had 3 missed calls from her boyfriend, and she had missed an interview. She had gotten fired from her job, to her out of the blue. Her friends were apprehensive about talking to her now. They all said she'd been acting strange. She didn't need them anyhow. She went back home, looked in the mirror, tears streaming down her face. She punched the mirror out with her fist, screaming, "How dare you invade my space?" She woke up in a hospital, her boyfriend by her side. "You're awake. Are you okay?" he asked. "Yeah, I'm fine," she lied. When she was well enough to leave, her boyfriend gave her a treat. Wanted to spend time alone together, so he took her off on a retreat. Everything was going splendidly. Then at a gorgeous waterfall, something snapped inside of her. And to him, she bared it all. She told him how chunks of time were missing from her brain and memories that were not real were driving her insane. Suddenly her head was spinning, and as he tried to give a hug, a banshee scream erupted as she plunged a knife into his chest so snug. "I won't let you hurt her again," she screamed as the image of her dad, as it morphed into her boyfriend's face. She knew she had done something bad. She put her hand across her mouth and crying ran away, stopped in a public bathroom at a park, thinking of what to say. In the mirror she saw the blood, looked at it covering her hands. "You see, you still hear her screams echoing across the land." End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. And Jean, why don't we start with you?
Dirty Trek Wrecks. I told you I was going to not comment verbally.
Oh.
But it was an excellent write by Dark and Doris. I thought it was well presented and a bit haunting, actually. It really was. I just was taken back by the whole thing. So nice work, Norris, and thank you so much for sharing with us all.
Okay.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, how about you? Pam?
Yes. I thought this was a wonderful write. You know, it's not easy to write something so long. And keep it to where it keeps your attention, like grabs your attention and keeps your attention all the way through. And Darkened Auras definitely did that for me. I thought this was a wonderful, dark and creepy write that had that classic horror movie vibe. And also had a very haunting feeling. And I like how she writes about a woman whose mind has become broken by her past. And on the subject of split personalities, multiple personalities created by traumatic events. So just a really dark write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. And Dexter, how about you?
Yeah, this piece is quite alarming. Right from the subject matter, you know, in a good way, you know, chain to a memory. This piece is so long that it almost starts to weather at the normal psyche that you have, to the point where you almost start, you know, even if the most hardened of minds can try to force this out, but it's almost very artistically and skillfully long. You can't help but put yourself into this situation, and even if you're so far removed, having a psychopath or having such a horrible upbringing as this, I mean, the absolute bottom life, it starts to almost wear itself into your psyche that you can put yourself there. So this is an incredible write.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. And Hope, how about you?
The beginning of the riot had such an eerie flow to it, like an eerie presence to it, and it didn't even prepare me for what the whole subject was about. I really liked that it talked about living with trauma and how it makes one can dissociate and have periods of blackouts to where you just kind of cut away from things and you don't know what's really happening. That line where she says that she was fired and to her it was out of the blue, like it really struck me, because dealing with those types of dissociation and blackouts, those things, like you think things are going one way, but in actuality, people around you, they don't really know, like they know something's wrong with you and you're off to them. But to you, you're just pulling through your everyday. It was really hard to listen to, but it's always good to hear those types of rites because, you know, these are people, like, I don't know if this was a real, like, or just fiction, but it's good to put these stories out there, these words out there for other people who can relate. Like, even I, as a woman, as a person who deals with things, like, I related to a lot of the different ones. So I thought it was really well done to have those type of relatable aspects.
Thank you very much, Hope. And Nuno, how about you?
Well, I would like to commend the writer on a couple of things, clearly. Dark Analysis, that's her name. I would like to commend her, first of all, for the prompt. It was really creative, giving the prompt. It was number four, people. It was about, like, memories that you block out, right, if I got it right. And she went into the route that is having multiple personality disorder, and she kind of nailed it because that's how they are created. So either this person has a similar experience. I hope she didn't kill her boyfriend thinking it was her dad. But that's kind of how alts are made. They are made to protect you from traumatic experiences. And the alt popped out to kind of do what she was meant to do. So I would like to commend her on her research and on her fine storytelling skills. And also, I did quite enjoy the rhyme because it was like it always rhymed, if I'm not mistaken, on the second and the fourth stanza, but not on the first and the third one. So I found that really interesting. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Nuno. Great comments, everybody. And Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, for my next magic trick, I put this piece up by Robert M. It's called Vicarious. And I have an audio for this one as well. So here we go. Now let's see if I can find it. Oh, it's up there. Up there. This one. Here we go. Okay, here it goes.
This is my recital of Vicarious. I sit here alone, lost in thought, reminiscing about all the battles I fought. Trying to be normal was a struggle indeed. If only I knew then that I'd never succeed. So I am done with trying to fit in, but this lone soul finds no comfort within. I've reached out, but it was in vain, since many deny or dismiss my pain. There are those who will never understand why my heart is held so tight in my hand. Looked down upon for my diminished desire, my loss of vigor and my will to aspire. I no longer hope, nor do I dream, sewing myself up seam by seam. To all of you who judge me so, there is something you should know. Throughout this life of endless strife, misery bled me like a knife. Through ceaseless plight, futilely I fight, battling sorrow with no end in sight. The weight of despair is too great to bear. Wearily I'm writhing from mental warfare. My burden of shame is greater than name. Me and the enemy are one and the same. My own adversary, this curse that I carry, is not something I can easily bury. You can condescend and judge to no end, mocking something you cannot comprehend. So make assumptions to your heart's content. Label me as antisocial or aberrant. You can think of me what you will. Have your laughs, take your fill. I will deflect and dismiss any ill words spoken. You can never break me, since I'm already broken.
Great read, Robert. Thank you to the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Kate, let's start with you, please.
No, of course. Thank you. Oh, I always really enjoy Robert's poetry. I love the fact that it's dark. His voice is suited so well to it. And this is a deep, meaningful piece of poetry. This is pain, and a sense of loss as well is there for me. I thought it was beautifully written, and such a the amount of feeling that really resonated with me. It was I think it was wonderful. And you can't really feel wonderful about something that is so full of someone else's pain. But you know what I mean. It was wonderfully written. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Robert.
Absolutely. Expressive would be the word there, Kate, I think you're looking for.
Thank you. Thank you.
Dex, how about you?
Yeah, what a piece. You know, this is, vicarious. It seems almost as if it's a Tool song, the way that it just encompasses you in endless strife, misery, blend me like a knife. Throughout ceaseless plight, beautiful I fight, battling sorrow with no end in sight. That's the most haunting part, is because, even the slaves or anybody that has dealt with unimaginable sorrow has always had the faith and the outlook to be able to get out of it. So when you reach that point where there's no outlook to be able to reach out of it, that's the end. So incredible right.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. And Hope, how about you?
I really liked the SoundCloud. It brought such a level of realness to the words. Like, you can feel the amount of, like, fed up and despair. I like how he spoke of the inner battle in the mind and the darker recesses of it, how it makes and molds a person. I thought it was really well done. I always enjoy his writes and his SoundCloud.
Thank you very much. And Nuno, how about you?
Well, what I truly enjoyed about this piece was the organized chaos on how he builds his stanzas. It's not disorganized at all. It's very organized, but it's very chaotic, which goes along with the theme of the rite. And this rite is a very hard to understand rite, not to me, because this is a type of depression that I'm very accustomed with, where you, in your eyes, you get so angry. You get so angry at yourself, at the world, at everything, and people start labeling you this and that when you know that's not it, but you're so stuck in it. You're so knee-deep in it, you know, that there's just, like, it seems like there's no escape. And thoughts like this revolt, it's almost like a mission, you know? So I quite enjoyed it.
Great comment there, Nuno. Thank you very much. And Jean, we're coming back to you.
I knew you were coming back to me, Rex, but I'm going to toss it back to you, and I'm going to put up this piece by Cedar Chapman. Oh, wait, that's not how it's supposed to work, is it? No, it's not for you, Rex. Sorry, wait. Damn,
okay.
I got myself all turned around again. All turned around again. Shoot, and I thought I was ready. I'll tell you what, I have this next piece I'm going to put up for Hope Soul. And Hope?
Okay.
Whenever you're ready, this is your piece, You Died, I Watched. Whenever you're ready.
Can I go in?
Yeah, I put that up for Hope.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry. You Died, I Watched. The drunkenness of loneliness keeps me still on nights without. The flesh that was once an extension of my limbs rots off bones to marrow, leaving me exposed as the name that flows through the wind, yours, takes all life from me. Breathing sulfur, chewing charcoal, exploding within crippling enmity of what used to be a wedding ring, corroding vows, empty vessels of covenants, ornaments to show the loss of it all. Preach to the broken, sew your lips blue, keep the doors shut, mausoleum erected, plots laid, wilting lilies in the sun, where I'm sure they will wither in parallel, mixing with the dirt, bleaching in the moon, where I wait with the pack howling, dying more with each eclipse, reminiscent of your lips, suckling sweet essence that drowns my pillow in sorrow.
Great read, Hope. Thank you very much. And Pam, why don't you kick us off?
All right. Yes. First of all, a great read and a wonderful write done by both you and Nuno. Powerful imagery and metaphors. And I really like how this speaks to me on the pain of loss that takes the energy from you. The idea of grieving, whether it's a grief from death or a grief from a relationship that didn't go as planned, it seems like it takes like every ounce of your energy. I really like this all the way through, but especially crippling amenity of what used to be a wedding ring, corroding vows, empty vessels of convents, ornaments to show the loss of it all, preach to the broken, sewn your lips blue, keep the door shut. You could just feel that sense of death in the room. And I also put, what very relatable was reminiscent of your lips suckling sweet essence that drowns my pillows in sorrow. It seems like no matter who you are or what you're going through, when you reach that moment of true, like, ugly crying, it's always into your pillow, and it's just, you have to wonder how much a pillow ends up weighing after it takes in all the tears that it does. So just an amazing write by both of you, and very well done.
All right, thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this was, as was stated before, a powerful write. You know, when you talk about crippling amenity of what used to be a wedding ring, corroding vows, you know, the way that I take this is almost as, not almost love lost, but it's almost if it is written in that really, really sour and harsh downtime of a relationship. You know, it's almost like this poem is written in that quick moment where it's like you spend so much time with somebody, and even though you love them, it's like almost it's written in that split instance where you hate that person for right now. You know what I mean? And it's like, and that can happen, and that's part of love. And so it's like I appreciate this poem quite a bit.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. And Kate, how about you?
I thought this was a wonderful collaboration. I mean, you can't tell who wrote what or who decided on. It's just beautifully, it works together so well. And it obviously speaks of loneliness, of pain, which is great to get out of, you know, your thoughts and your mind out there so that people understand it's not just them that are suffering. Everybody feels pain sometimes like this. And it's, I think it was very well written. I really enjoyed it. I particularly liked mixing with dirt, bleaching in the moon, where I wait with a pack howling, dying more with each eclipse, reminiscent of your lips, suckling sweet scents that drowns my pillow in sorrow. Ah, yes, we've all hugged that pillow, haven't we? Cried our eyes out and thought, oh no, I'm going to look terrible in the morning. So I thought it was beautifully written. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Thank you, Kate. I got to hit on that opening note, the drunkenness of lonely keeps my still on nights without the flesh that once was an extension of my limbs. Great opening line. It hit on that notion of the despair in the moment, but you also hit on that thought, a wedding ring, corroding vows, empty vessels of covenants, ornaments to show the loss of it all, preach to the broken. It was kind of, that note had almost a thought of betrayal in it. and everything else that you dropped in here. There's some sadness, there's anger, and as you reach the bottom end, struggling sweet essence that drowns my pillows in sorrow, you kind of hit on the note where you've actually gone through the seven stages of grief from denial up top all the way to acceptance at the bottom. So nicely done, you two. Mm-hmm. All right, Jean, we're coming to you.
Okay. Well, Nuno and Hope, I want to say I'm sorry. I did not realize that was a collaboration when I put it up. So I guess it didn't matter which one of you read it because it was a wonderful piece, a nice work. Dax, I'm going to put your piece up next, hon. And here we go. Reflecting on Awareness by the Duke of St. Paul, Dax Bailey. We all know him. Whenever you're ready.
All right. Well, thank you. Reflecting on Awareness. Wall cabinet mirror is all I own. Staring closely at my face and missing a side to myself, a side I've never known. We all do well with the front, the other angle we refuse. Comfortable where we hide, avoiding the real truth. As I comb my mustache and trim the edge of my beard, I wonder if there are spots I miss, only later to appear. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. And Nuno, why don't we start with you, please?
Can we go back a little bit? Because I was trying to, you know, decipher it still.
Okay. Pam, let's start with you.
Yeah, this is an excellent write about maturity and growth and awareness and, you know, starting to figure yourself out. I really liked all three stanzas, but I especially like, and I think it is very relatable to most people, is that second stanza. We all do well with a front, the other angle we refuse, comfortable where we hide, avoiding the real truth. You know, and you can't grow as a person until you face the truth, but you know, oftentimes that's the most difficult thing to do. And right now you're combing your mustache and trimming your beard. Give it about 10 to 20 years, Dexter, and you're going to be plucking out the nose hair and plucking out the ear hair. So then you can write a poem about that. excellent write and very well done.
Well, you scared me for a moment, Pam. I forgot what I was even writing about. I'm like, how the hell did she know I'm sitting here stroking my mustache for a second? You called me out.
I have the camera on you.
And Kate, how about you?
Sorry, I was typing away there like a fool. I thought it was absolutely wonderful. It was just exactly what happens. You know, you go past the mirror and you forget your age until you see that mirror and think, who is that old person staring back at me? So I can understand so well exactly what you meant. I don't actually have the moustache, but I do have the beard. Yes, I thought this was just exactly how you feel about time. Because time, it's a weird thing. You know, it goes fast or it goes slow, depending on how much fun you're having. So yes, it can be a surprise what it actually does as time goes on. But I thought this was beautifully written. And I love those last two lines. I wonder if there are spots I miss only later to appear. Very, very good. Thank you for sharing that.
Nice, Kate. And Hope, how about you?
Can I comment on her behalf, or like for me first, because she's doing stuff with the kids.
Okay.
In my opinion, I identified quite a bit with this poem, but not to the true meaning of it, because I was reading it, and that's why it took me a little while. I was reading it, and I was thinking how it is for myself, but then I read the other's notes. And when I look at the mirror and I'm like trimming or whatever, a lot of times I want to shave it all, not because I prefer to be shaven, but because I miss my face. And that's what the looking at my face, you know, like sometimes I almost forget how it looks like. And that's what it reminded me of when he said, like, yet missing a side to myself, a side I've never known. Lines like that really hit hard, for me at least. But then I saw it was about aging. So, yeah, that's my comment.
Excellent. Thank you. No, and you're right. We pass ourselves. We kind of look in that mirror, and it's we don't take notice until there is that noticeable change, a little bit of gray, wrinkles around the eyes, and the laugh lines and so on. All of a sudden, oh, damn, something I'd never seen before. And Pam hit on that joke, yeah, wait a few years, and you'll have hair out of your ears and your nose, which you're going to have to trim. More sides that you never knew before. Yes, it just hits on that idea because we think as youth that nothing will ever change yet. 10 years down the road, you notice your face has filled out a bit more. You've grown your beard, you've grown your mustache. You might have handlebars or something else. And you do look a bit changed. And what you said, Nuno, about maybe that reflection, wow, if I shave this off, I might get that youthful note back again. You do to a point until you notice, hey, there are those little notes, those little lines, those little touches of life that bear upon the flesh itself. So nicely done, Dex.
Thank you, and I appreciate all the comments. They were all spot on.
Nice. All right, Gene, we're coming to you.
Back to me again. See how it always happens? It's amazing. It's like a boomerang thing. Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up is for Nuno to read. And here we go. This is called Not a Dream by Nuno Cardoso. Whenever you're ready, Nuno.
Thank you. Not a dream. Breakfast. Breakfast bagel. Scrambled eggs. Mayo, ham, cheese, spam, mustard, bread, Mountain Dew, Big Red, Dr. Pepper, Peter Piper, cheese, pizza, pepper flakes hanging by a melted cheese thread, drop down half an hour, 2,000 tickets, first time, gave it to the kids, float. Love floats on air, gin and tonic, got scared, the shower head on the edge, getting supper while sitting on chairs. I am but a humble servant of this lair, scrub hair, not legs. Gravity falls down the stairs, water washes all the mags, little boy asks for help. Plastic straw pierces, cool blue, cool A juice bags. Hey, Ash, take this to the trash, Nuno says. Hershey pieces on chocolate chip cookies, analyzing life through my new lens. What is life outside these lens?
Great read, Nuno. Thank you very much. And Dex, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, this was incredible, right? What I was just picturing the whole time and whether he was going for that or not, but I almost pictured a psychedelic photograph, you know, or like a painting. Have you ever seen that? What, like, you know, where it's almost like the limbs are rushing out. The way that this flowed, you know, it's like plastic straw, little boy asked for help. You know, it's almost like this is all supposed to be normal except until your arm drains off the page or whatever. You know, it's just like, it seems like a psychedelic ride, and I thought that this was fantastic.
Thank you, Dex. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I like this. It's got a great flow to it. I like the way that the poem has a sense of movement with all the wiggly-waggly lines. You did a wonderful performance of it. The whole kind of like a rap, hip-hop vibe worked really well. You know, this takes me back to my days of living in Austin, Texas, where it was like the first place I ever saw people sprinkle chili pepper flakes on cheese pizza. And in fact, it's actually where I learned that there's a different meanings to the word chili, because at this grocery store I worked at, this coworker who was Hispanic said her mom always makes food chili. And I'm from Wisconsin and moved to Texas, and to me chili meant cold. So I asked her why her mother always made cold food. And she burst out laughing and told me that no, chili meant as in chili peppers, as in hot. But I really enjoyed this. I enjoyed the performance. I enjoyed how you bring us into that everyday imagery that just makes life kind of fun and special. And you know, what a wonderful tribute to your little family that you've grown together. And, you know, that it's just fun. It's just fun the way you bring in all the goodies, the Hershey chocolates, the juice bags, the Kool-Aid, all those things that kids just, you know, enjoy and that make life those simple pleasures. So great write and very well done.
Nice, Pam. Thank you. And Kate, how about you?
I thought this was fabulous. I really did. I love the way you started slowly and then built it and built and built until it got, I thought, how much faster can you read? I don't think you could have got much faster. It was brilliant. It just added a sort of a frenetic energy to it, which I really enjoyed. And I must come to America because the food sounds absolutely amazing. Scotland, so, you know, we've got haggis and porridge and that's it. You've got cheese pizzas with pepper flakes. How cool. Yes, I thought it was beautifully written. I just love food, so I'm sorry. I thought it was beautifully written, and I did, as I say, love the pace that you gave to it and the way it jumped across the page. And brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing.
Nice. Okay, thank you. I got to go with what Dex hit on, that hallucinatory, but I'm going to go with more psychedelic, that notation of third eye awakening, opening up to what is and what can be in the moment, the melding of spirits, because you've got that picture hits on, and you've got a man and woman right there in the bottom right-hand corner of this picture, and they're seemingly melding into each other. So that shows the idea of growth between two people and the outkick from there on in, because you hit on the thought of family as well. You rolled into the ease of food with this. But then at the bottom, you hit on with a Hershey piece on chocolate chip cookies, analyzing life through my new lens. That's where I hit on that thought of a third eye awakening. What is life outside these lands? That thought right there is, what is life outside the family? That notation to the unit itself and how it encompasses all things in the moment from the birth up to the rearing of the kids and how you all interact within each other. So nicely done, Nino. Thank you. All right, Jean, coming to you. Oh, you're welcome.
Nino, I have to say, I thought this was a great write. As you were reading it, I'm coming down the lines with you, and like Pam says, you know, I had a lot of movement to it. But what I took from that was, you know, there's so many wonderful images rolling down the page, and it kind of gave me the image of kids rolling down a hill. You know, kids lay on their side and they roll down a hill. That's just kind of where I went with it. So I'm not quite sure why I got that, but I got that. Pleasant thoughts throughout, and a great time. So, excellent, excellent work. Now, where am I going now? God, I don't know where I'm going now. Let me go back up here. Okay. I know where I'm going. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm a little confused, otherwise I'm good. Okay, here we go. The next piece I'm going to put up is by S. Sharp. And here we go. This is called Frozen in Time by Scott Sharp. Yeah, let me... Here we go.
Frozen in time. When we were kids in the snowy fall and the leaves of the aspen turned to gold, at an age when we were still ever bold, we would take to the field to answer the call. Freddie set his traps in the unmarked snow on the side of our mother's corner house. Even the sub-zero temperatures could not douse the flames in our hearts when we became the show. Pat was Freddie's friend. He lived down the block. He was a celebrated quarterback, golden arm, silver feet, and brass balls and tap. And his passes were bullets with equal shock. Brett was Pat's brother with the gimpy toe, my teammate in these games of two-on-two, futile games of which we would always lose, yet still this day we were ready to go. We slid in 2 feet of slushy ice, which seemed to level the field of play, giving rise that this was the day that our perseverance would suffice. And the game came down to our final drive, fourth down at 2. We were down by 6, staring at victory in this frozen mix of pigskins, grit, glory, and life. I stared my brother Freddie in the face, red ears and cheeks, and the pressure was there. Their perfect record stared at us in despair, and for that one moment froze all time and space. Brett looked at me with his crooked, upturned grin. His breath warmed the air with visible bliss as he brought the ball up to give it a kiss, as our 5-year losing streak was soon to end. "Hut, hut, hike!" he screamed, cracking the brisk air. Frozen in my mind were all those storms of life as I juked to the left and juked to the right. Freddie hit the ground as if to plop in a chair. Pat was fierce and rushing Brett, arms waving in his face. Brett pump-faked the throw and stepped out of the way, leaving Pat making snow angels and dismayed as I looked at Brett with visions of victory's embrace. He pulled back his arm so slow and so sure, and he gently lobbed the ball to me. Spiraling laces and spiraling dreams, screams of glory, not the demure. I looked to Freddie and Pat in their pain and thought of this long-awaited victory found as the ball hit my hands and dropped to the ground, that frozen hard tundra that's stuck in my brain.
Great read, Scott. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Dex, why don't we start with you?
This is a very difficult write, and I appreciate Scott for doing this because that moment that all of us are like, you know, we're all hoping for, and we all, when we sign up for sports, we all envision it going differently. Coming from somebody that was very good at youth sports. And also once I got to high school, we were really bad. We had guys that went to the NFL around, and then, but like they didn't go to our high school but we all grew up with them. And coming from somebody that was very good, and we were beating the number one seed, and it came down to me and striking out in baseball. For some reason, that is still frozen in time, and maybe nobody even remembers how that went down, but I still do. And so it's like, this is just it seems so simple, and it seems so childish, but at the same time, it's such a shaping moment for you, whether you wanted it to be or not. So I loved it by Scott.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. Kate, how about you?
Yes, I think this was a wonderful telling of a tale that obviously still rankles, still to this day. Things that happen in your childhood have a sort of a snowball effect on your life, good or bad. You can't leave it behind. It comes along with you. And I think this is a wonderful reminder of how quickly things can change. In that millisecond, that tiny moment when you think everything is going to go wonderfully well and you're going to get to win, and then the ball drops out of your hand. I would love to hear what happened after that. I really would. I can imagine. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes, I think this is a wonderful story entire poem, and I really enjoyed it. So thank you for sharing with us.
All right. Thank you, Kate. And Nino, how about you?
Well, I could appreciate the storytelling aspect of this poem. I always like storytelling poems, and I liked the rhyme. It wasn't too fairy tale like. I don't usually like that. It depends. And I do like the kind of brain freeze ending as well, that punchline at the end. It was a nice story. I enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thank you, everyone. All right, Gene, we're coming back to you. Oh, Jeannie.
Don't tell me. You want me to talk off the mute button. I'm so sorry.
Oh, always. I didn't touch it.
Kate, I'm going to put this next one up for you. That's what I was saying when you said my name, and I went, uh-oh. Okay, Kate, this one is by Jenny Hunt, and it's called Love Exists.
Okay, I've got that. Just give me a second.
You.
Open up. So, Love Exists. As soon as I was about to give up on love, you came back into my life, making your way into my heart. All it took was one starry, magical, kiss-filled night, and I was convinced that love does exist for me. All my past feelings for you sprouted up again when you kissed my yearning lips. The desire yet again came rushing through my hips, and I cannot wait for the day that you can confess your love to me too, for I already love you. We may not have lots of money, nor do we have fancy belongings. As long love remains in our hearts strong and true, I know we will be forever in euphoria. My one and only wish is you, my love. Life I can endure as long as I have you by my side. Content as your love dries my tears and makes my negative thoughts disappear. You are the alamodes to my huckleberry pie. For many reasons untold, I know love exists. I thank you over and over for being my friend, my hero, and my lover. You finally loving me in return is my wish come true. End poem.
Great read, Kate. Thank you very much. Pam, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, I really like this poem. It's got a beautiful romantic feel to it. I love the confidence in the title, Love Exists. And I like that this is about, you know, it's a real heartfelt poem speaking on, you know, the idea of having a partner who is not only someone that loves you and you love them, but that, you know, you stand side by side and support each other. And it's a great write all the way through. But, of course, you know, you got to love, you are the a la mode to my huckleberry pie, because when that brings to mind, I'll be your huckleberry. You just got to love that. Excellent write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. And Kate, I'm Kate. Dex, how about you?
Well, I agree with Pam, you know, there was a lot to that side of it, but right from the title, you know, love exists. All my past feelings for you sprouted up again when you kissed my yearning lips. You know, whether it be the wrong kind of hope, or whether it just be hope in general. You can feel like all love is dead until that moment that sparks again, and it's almost like throwing a cigarette into dry grass or something, you know. So I just thought that this is a great rant.
I like that note. Thank you, Dex. And Nuno, how about you?
He went to go have a smoke, but I listened to it, right?
Okay, Hope.
I really liked the ride. I liked the way it captured those feelings of love, of how it just, it changes you and how you, it's more than just love. I like how sweetly she worded each line. And I thought it was a really lovely dedication to someone that she is very deeply in love with. I thought it was very beautiful.
Thank you, Hope. I like that line. You are the Alamo to my huckleberry pie, that note of the almost completeness with that one right there. Kate, you got to read it. What about you?
Yes. This is lovely. This is a poem about hope, that you can actually have what you want. You are the Alamo to my huckleberry pie. That's wonderful. I don't even know what huckleberry pie is. I keep thinking of Huckleberry Finn in a pie with his head sticking out. Not that, is it? No. I'm joking, sorry. But that last stanza I thought was just so sweet. For many reasons untold, I know love exists. I thank you over and over for being my friend, my hero, and my lover. You finally loving me in return is my wish come true. That's lovely. So this is somebody who finally gets to hold the person that they care about most in the world. I wish everybody had a happy ending. I really do. But beautifully written. Thank you so much.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okay. Well, let's see now. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Poetic Picasso. I have an audio for that. I'm working my way through here about as quick as I can. So here we go. I'm going to play that audio now.
I am the creepy stranger that you fear at night, the central master of perverted pleasures, for I am the one that controls your mind. The dark eyes that watches you now. I can see you in the shower as you undress before me. I know that you are all alone and vulnerable at my mercy. I can hear the drops of the pouring water of the shower drenching your naked body entirely and slowly afterwards. You close the curtains unaware of my menacing presence, unaware that tonight is the dreaded hour of your death. Can you hear my deep breath as my footsteps approach you? Some still wicked sharp blade on my penetrating knife I hold.
Nicely done, Frank. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It's much appreciated. All right, Pam, let's kick with you.
All right. Yeah, that was a great performance. Oh, my goodness. I like how he brought in the classic sound effects from the movie Psycho. I really like how this is one of those poems that if you know the movie, you really appreciate it. And if you don't know the movie, you still appreciate it because, you know, you're just intrigued by the darkness. Frank has done a wonderful performance with this. It's delightfully dark and creepy, a wonderful first-person narrative that brings us into the mind of Norman Bates. I really like it all the way through, but of course, you know, since the shower is a classic part of the movie, that is my favorite part. I can hear the drops of the pouring water of the shower drenching your naked body entirely and slowly after you close the curtains unaware. More ha 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 ha. Yeah, excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this is an incredible write, incredible read. You know, I just happened to be watching this documentary even about this Vietnam vet that really Olson got a kick out of killing. And, you know, when you see this, my penetrating knife may hold, let the horror begin. That was such a chilling part to me because all of a sudden it's like killing is such a horrible thing, but all of a sudden once it happens and you kind of get that rush or you get that kick out of it, that's where really when you talk about the killers, the serious and the ugly, that's really when the horror begins. It's not even the killing. It's when the horror happens. That's when the really ugliness really takes place. So I thought that this was such a great write.
Thank you, Dex. Kate, how about you?
Oh, blimey. I knew that laugh was going to be there, Frank. I love scares the bejesus out of me. I thought it was very, very interesting, very well written. I loved it. I thought the fact that you got the whole story of that particular movie so cleverly moved around your poem, I thought it was wonderful. I'm sorry, I don't appear to be able to speak. I do apologize. Normally, I'm not so bad, but this must be the effect of that laugh. Yeah, I thought it was that first stanza. I mean, it set the whole thing up, didn't it? It was, I am the creepy stranger that you fear at night, the sensual master of perverted pleasures, but I am the one that controls your mind. The dark eyes that watch you now. Oh, my goodness me. I'm looking behind me and thinking, who's there? Well done, Frank. I really enjoyed it. It was great. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kate. And Hope, how about you?
I really liked the performance to it. It really brought the overall eerie, creepy vibe. And each line that he said, it brought like an overwhelming, like hair-raising feeling to it. Even though like I knew what was going to happen because of the movie, but it's still, I thought he did a really good job capturing the vivid images of what was about to happen with each line that he put. It was really enjoyable.
All right. Thank you, Dan. All right, Jean, we're coming back to you.
Okay, Rex, I'm tossing this one back to you. I have a piece called Blue Diamond by Cedar Chapman. It's whenever you're ready.
Blue Diamond by Cedar Chapman. The pendulum of the world crushes my nerves, buzzing her black light to whittle my mind and drown me in static electric blue. The roar of a thousand beasts reduced to a flaccid limp whimper. Gently, you wipe each bead of anxiety from my forehead, caress my hair, and purse my parched lips with your index finger. Everything will be fine. A lullaby whispered by the calm magenta sky, the ease before a raging storm. Your eyes penetrate me like a lance mounted on a prized mare. Its cobalt steel lusts for blood of youthful years past. Yet my chalice is dusty and bone dry. You gaze back, unfettered, with the velvet softness of cornflower blossoms, methodically licking the rim after a full of ruby port wine. A lioness needs to eat. Thighs crush my temples as you grind the cleft of my chin with tremulous tremors and quakes, convulsing ocean bedrock and shaking ancient cities. each undulation of the tsunami arising in tempo until the brief omega moment where waves freeze in time as your body shivers with fire and methane ice. As you drip sweat on my face, I lie asphyxiated, inoculated, staring blind at the blurred popcorn ceiling. A warm ember surges through me with a slow rumbling growl. You bite your lower lip and smile. The blue moon howls, and the night is still very young. And Dex, why don't we kick it off with you?
This is an incredible rite, and very dark and sensual. You know, I feel like it's as if this rite is almost, you know, borderlining, you know, a very, and I feel like it is a very kind of rough sex, and I don't mean to make that into a bad thing where it's that it's intentional, and I think that what is maybe sometimes bad to one person is very enjoyable to the next, you know, so that's why that's kind of that very gray area, and it's kind of that line, and this is a rite that definitely dances across that line, and I thought it was just very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. And Hope, how about you?
I really enjoyed that rite. I always enjoy, I've heard like three or four of his rites, and there's always like a dark, the ones I heard, like this dark undertone. So I liked the dark, sensual feeling throughout the whole poem. He had really vivid, beautiful images, which with the wording and the wordplay made it more playful with the dark feeling to it. It was an excellent rite. I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Hope. Kate, how about you?
Yes, another wonderful rite. Never disappoints, does he? I particularly, as usual, of course, I love the last stanza. It just seems to carry everything together and tie it all up. But this is heavy. As you drip sweat on my face, I lie asphyxiated, I can't even say it, inoculated, staring blind at the blurred popcorn ceiling. A warm ember surges through me with a slow rumbling growl. You bite your lower lip and smile. Yes, this is a wonderful piece of poetry. I really enjoyed it. I think it's on so many different levels for me, because I'm reading different things into it as I read it. But you've got the softness, and you've got the fierceness, and you've got the hunger and the passion, all of it there. So well done. Thank you so much for sharing, Jira.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. All right, Pam, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, this one is absolutely stunning. What I think is that Cedar needs to go back to writing for our Wednesday nights again like he used to. Wonderful. Wonderful dark sensuality. Beautifully written. I like how he writes on a woman who has a strong spirit, the spirit of a lioness, and has no problem letting her man know what she needs and knows what she wants. A lioness needs to eat. Thighs crush my temples as you grind the cleft of my chin with tremulous tremors and quakes convulsing ocean bedrock and shaken ancient cities. Oh yeah, muy caliente. Great write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, everybody. All right, Jean, we're coming to you.
Okay, I think Nuno wanted to make a comment on the piece. So, Nuno, what did you think?
Well, thank you very much, Evid. Commend the writer. Because of the prompt, it does look like a lady over a man. I don't know if it was intentional or not for who made the painting. So I really think the writing fitted the painting. I think it was really creative, and I really enjoyed the descriptive metaphors. I think they were like a nice lollipop.
Excellent. Thank you, Nuno. All right, Jean, we're back on.
Hey. Okay, yes, excuse me. I'm having a moment. Well, one of many, I'm sure. It's all Frank's fault. I made a comment on his poem, and he said, thanks, Pam. And I put in Pam with a question mark, and it comes back Ukrainian translation. And it comes back Ukrainian translation, Pam, with a question mark. I'm like, what? So, yes, it totally threw me. Oh, I'm like, I didn't know I spoke Ukrainian. Let me go see what's going on. Crazy as all stuff. Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is by Errant Panther, and it's called Cracking the Looking Glass. So here we go, and I also have an audio for this one. Oh, my God. Here we go.
Cracking the Looking Glass by Errant Panther. I used to think everything was circular. Breathe, grow, learn, wither, then bloom again. After the sun kisses shifting horizons, this body became practiced in the art of stargazing, somehow knowing there was an essence of self beyond, and its echo would mirror every second of dreaming. Unrehearsed speeches lingered in the realm of silent thought, eventually forming each notion of spirit I sensed within, until doubts behind eyes of shallower souls cast their shadows upon them. Waves of tears whispered testament to the art of arrogance and judgment. Thankfully, this heart never faltered, shaking off the stain of pessimism like rain upon a leaf. The wake of morning, now filtering through heightened sensitivities, promises more than everything I thought I knew. End poem.
Great read, Errant. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Kate, I know you like the voice, so you get to kick it off.
I'm wondering if this voice is better than the voice of the chap who says unmuted. But I think it might have a bit of an edge. Yes, I thought this was really so... what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know the word I'm looking for. I thought it was somebody trying to gauge themselves, trying to find themselves. It's a bit like that, I think. Cracking the looking glass. So, yeah, well, those horrible looking glasses, nobody likes them. But this is that first stanza. I used to think everything was circular. Breathe, grow, learn, wither, then bloom again after the sun kisses shifting horizons. So, yes, it is. It's a good thought that, yeah, things can, what goes around comes around and all that. And it can be true. But not so much, I don't think, here. I don't think this person is particularly happy. But, yeah, beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. I loved the last stanza as well. So thank you so much for sharing this with us, Errant Panther. It was delightful.
Nice. Thank you, Kate. And Nuno, how about you?
Well, I think it's funny that the poems says the line in the art of stargazing, because that's exactly how I view poems like these. I feel like they are like staring at the stars, you know, when you're in the field and you can see all the stars in the sky. You don't quite understand a lot. Well, at least I don't quite understand a lot about stars and astrology and all that, but I do enjoy looking at them. And that's how I feel like poems like these. I couldn't quite grasp the meaning, but I could tell it was beautiful. And I really like poems like that.
Excellent. Thank you. Hope, are you there too?
Yes. I really enjoyed hearing the writer's perspective. Like, you get their emotions through it all. I like, to me, it felt like someone looking into themselves, like almost like an out-of-body experience. looking downward at themselves and what they see, what they feel in themselves, and putting it to pen. And I think you penned it really beautifully. I really enjoyed the ride. It was a good experience listening it through the poet's point of view.
Nice. Thank you, Hope. Dex, how about you?
Yeah, this is a great write, and I feel like this is about kind of almost the lifespan of your artistic nature. You know, there's different parts throughout your, you know, when you're, whether it be painting or you're writing and all different types of stuff where you almost, you doubt yourself. You practiced or you just, you didn't feel like you were quite there and you were waiting to bloom. And then way later on, past the tears and past the whispers of, and the testaments and the arrogance and the judgment. And then you finally, you know, find yourself in the wake of the morning and you finally create, you know, or you finally find yourself as an artist. I just think that this was the walking through of the how difficult it is to be an artist. So very well done.
Nice. I like that, Dex. Thank you. Pam, how about you?
Yeah, I really liked this one. It had just wonderful imagery and metaphors. You know, I thought it had a beautiful, heartfelt feel, very meditative and thoughtful on the idea of learning to see others beyond ourselves. And I like how it speaks on personal growth that comes through pain. I especially like unrehearsed speeches lingered in the realm of silent thought, eventually forming each notion of spirit I sensed within, until doubt behind eyes of shallower souls cast their shadows upon them. Just beautifully written lines and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Pam. Jane, you want to get in on a comment?
Yeah, let me put it this way. It was a fabulous poem, surely. It made me want to go and read Self Rising Mojo's poem, which he used as inspiration for that piece, because I really wanted to to look at the whole picture. But it was very well done, and I thought the emotions were well expressed, and his thoughts were also, you know, well expressed. So thank you, Owen Panthers, for sharing with us that. I really enjoyed the piece. It was beautiful. Okay, I'm quiet now.
Yeah, I too like the angle drawn on this, that notion of the first stanza, everything coming back unto itself, so to speak. And the art of stargazing, I found that an interesting note, because you think of stargazing, it's kind of that note to as above, so below, that walk within another realm that you you can see, but you can only see it when it walks in darkness. And then there's those two stanzas, unrehearsed speeches and waves of tears. They kind of hit at the notion of those who look down, or maybe the self-criticality that one drops in on your own, on one's own thoughts. And then it hits it with that notion of thankfully, this heart never faltered, shaking off the stain of pessimism like rain upon a leaf. There's that nice turn right there of offering it. Even though one might, if this is self-criticality, being able to watch that office, you're being a little bit too harsh in the moment, and realizing with that last stanza, the wake of morning now filtering through heightened sensibilities promises more than everything I thought I knew. That idea of being critical to the point of understanding the criticism, yet being able to walk past that point and understand that which you just put forth is something more than you knew beforehand. So nicely done, Aaron. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
Thank you, Doug. Pam, I'm going to put the next one up by you, for you to read. It's called Naming the Forgotten by Kiku. So whenever you're ready.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Naming the Forgotten by Kiku. The tea kettle dreams of winter once it held summer and peonies. I read through in an old chapbook with your voice, brown sugared imprints soft like pictographs left by a Chinese pond heron. Remember it this way you write. The world is old, but the day is new. Across the mire and rice paddies, I will name the forgotten, yellow like the mid-autumn osmosis. Because 3 hours from now, the gravity of rain will wilt them, and the furthest thing is no longer a lilac horizon, nor a column of sky, not the stars, sun, or moon. It is you and poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Hope, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, that was just a stunning... stunning, right? I've had to come back and read it again. Each line, like, she's a really talented writer. I've read a lot of her poetry, and she always just has such a beautiful, the words that she chooses, they make such unique images in your mind that not really many people would pin together. But the last lines, I think, just really seal it all together to where you see where she's coming from. But not the stars, the sun, or the moon. It's you, the things that are naming the forgotten. It's sad, but to me, it's still very beautiful.
Excellent. Thank you, Hope. And Nuno, how about you?
Well, Keiku is actually one of my favorite writers here on Alt Poetry. And I've nominated her, like, quite a few times for Front Page. I really like the way she writes. I really like the way she formatted the text and the descriptiveness of it. It really reminded me of Pablo Neruda, and that's not an easy feat to do it so well. So congratulations. Very good.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Nuno. Kate, how about you?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, I do apologize. I'm afraid I've gone blank. Give me a second.
Oh, okay. No problem. Dan, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was an incredible write, and one which that is the connectivity is such beauty. You know, I felt like there's... if you're an outsider looking in, especially in this day and age, it would be almost offensive lines. But when you view yourself one with the culture, or when you view yourself one as a couple, and there's such a beauty within that, you write uninhabited. And I feel like this person was writing this freely without thinking about hurting about anything or whatever. It was just one within the culture, and I thought that this was incredible.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. And Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a beautiful write. The way she has her imagery flow, you know, I like how it speaks on the idea of acknowledging a personal history with someone, and yet at the same time embracing the moment, and there's such a sense of loneliness with the realization that yes, the stars, the sun, and the moon are all far away, but not as far away as you feel like you are to me. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Excellent, thank you, everyone. All right, Jean, we're coming back to.
Okay, and the next one I'm going to put up, and is last but never least, is a piece called Faded by Weaver of Dreams. And I have an audio for that. You just kick back and relax there, Kate. I got this.
I cannot walk past a church or chapel without feeling sharp steel spikes being driven into my skull, leaving me in indescribable agony. A small price to pay for the dark glory ahead, as I am soon to meet my Maker, to give unto Satan this vessel that has been dedicated to him. Let him take my blood, my body, only keep me near to serve him, no matter what ensues. The ceremony is over. I am spent and sore. I am not seated at the side of Satan, but I'm in a vile, dank place of valleys and caverns where a putrid odor emanates from a vast green quagmire. This roils against a sharp, flint-like shore, from whence there are screams of torment, as drowning people clamber out to then have slices of flesh removed from their bodies while trying to regain the land. Exhausted, they slide back into the ooze. The denizens of the deep consume the remains, but still more and more surface. I try to find a less distressing area with little hope. There are rooms aplenty in this place of abject despair, each bearing its own patina of horror and past pain. Here is a man who has murdered for pleasure, forced to remove from his body arrows fired at him time after time, who cannot die but must return the missiles to be fired at him again. Next, the woman is being attacked by demons wielding tiny, sharp knives. Her punishment for the many sweet children she abused whilst she was a nanny. I pass a mound of naked men and women who can feel nothing except pain, who are locked in the act of sexual congress unto eternity. There is a dancer pirouetting around and around endlessly. This is her punishment for murdering her competition to become prima ballerina. With despair in my heart, I wonder, come of me. Surely I am only guilty of my misguided beliefs. Then I realize that it is not only my dark lord who has a say in my non-future. I have been judged and found guilty. I am now to meet my God-given fate.
Great read, Kate. Thank you for the sound cloud. It's very much appreciated. Dexter, we're going to start with you, Bubba.
God, this was just incredible and just killing. You know what this reminded me of? It was here in Minnesota when Mankato, when they had the largest mass execution of 38 men dead, you know, it was like, you know, today's a perfect day to die. This just had that dark edginess that I am now to meet my God-given fate. This just had a sense of balls and a sense of direction to it that typically is a very scary element, but this is, you captured it so well here, Kate. Very well done.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dex. Pam, how about you?
Oh, this was an epic, dark, and creepy rite. I really liked how you take us through one woman's journey of through hell. And the realization that the deal she made with the devil didn't go as planned. And I really like how you connect the different punishments going on with the sins that they're being punished for. There is a dancer pirouetting around and around endlessly. This is her punishment for murdering her competition to become prima ballerina. I really liked that part. It made me think of the tale of the red shoes with the young girl who can't stop dancing till her feet are chopped off. Great, great dark rite and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Pam. And Nuno, how about you?
I think it was really lovely. I really enjoyed the lines. I'm not seated by the side of Satan, and the whole theme behind it was really wonderful. The even though it was kind of dark, the language was beautiful, and it had a really nice contrast to it. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you,
Nino. Hope, how about you?
I really enjoy Weaver's SoundCloud. I always, like, she has such a soft-spoken, poetic voice. Even with such a dark write, it is, she carries it so well. And the first time I had spoken to her, she had said, like, I thought she was joking when she said she always writes about killing somebody, but now I see that she wasn't. And I really like that about her writes, because I've been listening to a few of them, and just her images and her lines, they're always just so striking, and it's always done so well. I'm a big fan of her writes, for sure.
Thank you so much. That's very nice.
Thank you. All right, Kate, it is dark, yes. But it's got that darkness like Poe, something you can dip your fingers, your tongue, and your mind into. But it also walks that realm of Dante's Nine Circles of Hell. You kind of dip into each little parcel on your way down to find out where your spot lingers, which is where the back end of this hits upon, and then the reality of your chosen. Set within that realm as, hey, it's not going to be at the left or right hand of Satan as one was purported to be going, but it is not just based on his decision alone. There's also there's the other angle where heaven meets hell right here, and that little bit of purgatory which you are now being coming into is something that walks along a particular flavor, the one which you rolled into to begin with, and that was the loyalty, the thought of the lust and greed that walk within being that right-hand notion to one so powerful. And you're not going to like the end result. Even though it hasn't been alluded to, you understand the notion of it's not going to be very nice.
Exactly. Definitely.
All right, great comments, everybody. Jean, we're back on you.
Okay, well, Kate, boy, I'll tell you, what imagery you had in that one. Amazing work and such a story told. Always, your storytelling is always wonderful, no matter what the subject. Excellent piece, awesome, and dark and well done. Absolutely. Amazing. Now,
thank
we
you.
Don't really have time for another piece because we have 90 seconds left, just like that. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Dexter. Thank you, Hope and Nuno. Kate, it was great to have you with us. Rex, it's wonderful to have you back. You know, you definitely keep me together and off mute, too. Not many can say that. But I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend and a great week next week. We have 11 carryovers. So I will be putting up next Friday's board and dropping them all in there. So anyone who did not hear their piece tonight, you know, I apologize, but hey, we will move it all night long, and we'll be happy to play them next week. So everybody have a wonderful night, and thank you again for calling in and hanging out. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Dexter. Yeah, I think I said Dexter already. Sam, yes, them two again. And Eric Panther, thanks for hanging on the board. It was just a great night of poetry, and thank you, everyone, for making it happen. Have a great night. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night,
good
folks.
Night.
Good night, John Boy.
Good night, Mary Ellen.